Hey, this is Thaddeus.
And this is Jeremiah.
And this is the Dense Muffin.
The Dense Muffin tackles theological and biblical topics, questions, and interests, referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ through the study of his word and conversations with other Christians who seek him daily.
This episode, Thad and I are going to be talking about government and faith and how they correlate together. But before we dive into the episode, Thad, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little bit of a heart check here. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Very exhausted. Yeah. But also full of praise, I'll say, because the Lord has provided an approval, a granted, for our home study paperwork for our adoption process.
Awesome.
And we are moving forward in that. So,
well, praise God for that.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Starting a new job tomorrow. Well, by the time that this episode comes out, I'll probably have been there for a little while.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's a Christian company. So it's a company called Voss Lighting, and they have stores all over, mm-hmm. all over, the US. And so their mission is that they sell to tell. So they work the gospel into every conversation that they have with their customers or, you know, vendors or whatever else cool. that they interact with. And so, they're just a beacon of like what it's like to be in the workforce, but also be on mission at all times. And it's just a great, great environment, definitely better than when I was in before. So,
yeah, that's really cool. I actually love that.
Yeah.
Love that, business strategy.
It's really great.
Yeah. So you start that technically tomorrow, but
yeah, in our time tomorrow.
In our tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to be doing there?
Just like reception work. So I'll be like talking to some, the guy, like some electricians and stuff when they come in to like look at products and stuff. People look in to like buy. They sell light bulbs and like lighting fixtures and stuff. Mm. And they also like do installations and stuff too. I won't be doing that because I'm not an electrician.
Sure. Yeah. We don't want you to get shocked.
Yeah. But if I wanted, it'd be a shocking experience. If I wanted to learn about that stuff,
you might meet Jesus sooner than expected.
You know, I don't know if I can complain about that.
Well, I mean, no.
I mean, I wouldn't, like, not purposefully, but like on accident, right. You know. This got dark real quick. Anyway, let's talk about the government.
On that note.
Yeah.
Government.
These are some really interesting times to be talking about the government.
Mm-hmm. And especially as Christians, like our society, if you haven't looked outside recently, it's not great.
No.
It's, and honestly, it probably won't get any better.
No.
Until Jesus returns.
Exactly. And no man knows the date or time, not even the Son.
Right. And it's also been said in Revelation. I mean, if you read Revelation, it shows like things are going to get worse before they get any better.
I think it's funny though, because people are like talking about like, oh, the Euphrates River is drying up, all these things.
Yeah.
I think it's also easy to get a little too excited about stuff sometimes. I think some people can take it too far and being like, any day now.
Oh yeah. I mean, we have a lot of people out there that are saying the end is nigh, like those guys wearing signs.
They've been saying that for 2,000 years.
A ton of people on TikTok, a ton of people on Instagram, like are just saying that. And honestly, as Christians, we need to guard our hearts against that stuff because that could be, like you said, we could be too focused on what the event's happening rather than focused on the one who is to return. And so,
also like what our duty is while we're still waiting.
Right.
Like, and what are we supposed to do in this season? Because, like, we don't, you know, we don't know. And with all of the stuff going on, we need to be focused on our mission and not on the events themselves.
Right. Exactly. Our mission is still the same.
Exactly. Speaking of our mission in this messed up world,
mm-hmm.
There can be a lot of confusion about what our role is when it comes to government, especially with the pandemic. Happening recently stuff and stuff too, and like all of the government guidelines, and mm-hmm. I've heard so many different points of view of like about, you know, I mean, I also just want to state that or I will not be taking any specific political stance during this. We just want to look at all of the facts objectively and what scripture says about it. But like, I've heard a lot of different points of view when it comes to the vaccine, a lot of different points of view when it comes to just, you know, the government hand and all of it. And I think there is a healthy amount of skepticism about that kind of stuff. But also at the same time, you know, I don't believe that everybody is evil either.
Right.
You know, we're inherently all with sin and sinners, but not everybody has an evil heart. I would say, like, actively aggressive.
Yeah, I mean,
at least not at the grand scale that some people.
Right. I wouldn't. Yeah.
It's hard. This is.
Are you trying to get at the fact that like people in our government are twisted and evil to the core, or are you saying and there's no
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying there are some people in the government that are meaning to do good.
Yeah.
But just they don't have the right perspective or like Christ behind their motives, and so it can be come out the wrong way.
Mm.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, there's just this is hard to talk about without getting controversial.
But I'm just gonna say it right there, right away. Like, okay. There might be a lot of hot takes in this episode and a lot of controversy.
Yeah,
and I just want to prepare listeners, you know, for this, like,
if you're going to get triggered,
listen, we've reiterated every episode, we're not experts in any of this, but we are, we do our research. We do, take notes when given the opportunity and we're just going off of, you know, our own experience, but also just
the discernment. We all have discernment from the Holy Spirit as well.
Right. Right. And also what we read in the scriptures.
Exactly.
So,
and again, if you really do disagree with us on some things, and maybe you have information that we don't, send us an email at thedensemuffinpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your guys' perspective on this stuff too. So, this isn't by any means like final in any way. It's just a couple of guys talking and thinking out loud. but what I was saying is like, this isn't government. That's not government. Never mind. That's not really part of the government. That's just, well, I mean, it kind of is. It's hard to separate government from politics sometimes.
I mean, that's the point of politics, is to talk about government.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of political leanings in the government, especially around the topic of transgenderism. And I think that's probably the biggest beast as of right now for Christians. Because a lot of the things that I've seen is that, Christians are viewed by these people, whether they're transgendered or whatever community they're a part of, like they view Christians as hateful, judgmental people. And I think that goes against what scripture says about Christians, about they said that they will know us for our love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like that we as Christians are representing that very well.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I am a 20-year-old kid from the Midwest, so I may not know a lot.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
from my perspective, that's how it seems, because it seems illogical for us to get this reputation if there's not any evidence or any reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are instances where we're just speaking the truth and people do not like hearing the truth, especially people who have those particular political beliefs, because they don't want to admit that they're broken.
Right.
I think that's the big part. But I don't know. It's just, it breaks my heart, because all of these people who are just searching for that love and that, for that acceptance and that appreciation, are just looking in all the wrong places, and they're blind to the true love that Christ offers. And it breaks my heart a little.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think this isn't in the Bible at all. This was a saying at my old Baptist church, but it was hate the sin, not the sinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that.
So I think it can get kind of murky when some Christians are, approaching these topics. I think we still need to be basing all of our beliefs and our opinions in biblical truth, but with love.
Yeah. I think we definitely need to be more honest honest about who we are, as followers of Christ. One of the big scripture points that a lot of people go to when they're talking about government, like things that is in the Bible about government, is Matthew 22, when the Pharisees or the spies of the Pharisees or Sadducees are like confronting Jesus, and they're like, should we pay our taxes to Caesar?
Right.
And
this is a big
Jesus
one.
You know, says what?
There you go.
Right here.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
That's right. And so the spies of the Pharisees are confronting Jesus, and his response, they're like, should we pay our taxes to Caesar? You know, are you here to abolish Rome, basically? And Jesus says this classic line of, well, hand me a denarius, whose face is on that? And they're like, it's Caesar's. So he's like, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's.
Mm.
And in that verse, in that context, I mean, he's talking about more of like, yeah, you should pay your taxes. You should obey authority that has been established. And I really do want to get into like government back when Israel was like, in the Old Testament, what happened with all that, and like how we came to where we are now, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'll finish this up. So in Matthew 22, Jesus is saying like you are an image of God, like you, God's image is on you. So you should be rendering unto God what is God's, like giving back your life to God. Still pay your taxes,
yeah,
because it's, you know, you should obey the authorities that.
Yep.
Because running out of breath.
You're good. I have that happen all the time too. I understand.
You should pay your taxes and obey the laws of the government, because God has allowed these things to be here in place. He's also allowed those people to be in office for a reason.
Right.
And we shouldn't be like these, you know, one
rebellious.
Of those rebellious yeah. zealots, no. You know, that's what Simon the Zealot, one of the disciples
and
was.
Jesus called him out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And another, scripture that I want to point to is in 1 Peter. I was reading this today actually, but, it's about respecting people in authority. But before I jump into that, those verses about respecting people in authority, one thing that did come to mind was earlier in this chapter, like a couple verses before what I'm going to get into, verses 9 through, just verse 9. It says, just talking about people like Christians and living in this world and living in this society, like how we ought to act.
Mm-hmm.
And you said like they will know us by our love for one another. And this came to mind was verse 9. It says, but you, talking in the sense of like, you know, living apart from people who are wicked. He's saying, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light.
And it's talking about like Christians as a whole.
Yeah, he's talking about Christians as a, like being a child of God, being a Christian, a Christ follower. Like
mm-hmm.
you are chosen as a holy nation. Like we as Christians, like that's another thing that like we need to wrap our heads around too, is like verse 11, just this section, like verse 9 through verses 17. Just so good for this episode, because in verse 11, it talks about how we are temporary residents of this world.
Mm.
And we live in countries that have a government. I just want to think and put a picture in everybody's mind of like, you are a guest in someone's house. Are you going to disobey their rules for the house, or are you going to be a good guest, a good temporary resident, and obey?
That's a really good picture.
obey their rules.
Right.
And if you don't, there are consequences.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to stay in that right. home anymore. And so Peter, in this letter, he's talking to Christians and saying, like, well, he is talking about talking to the Jews, but at born-again Christians, like born-again Christians who were raised Jewish and still saying that they are a holy nation, even though they technically are, they are. I mean, yeah.
They're double holy.
Dual holiness. But yeah, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls is what it says in verse 11. And so we as temporary residents, like, yes, we, I think that just puts a picture into how we are ought to live in our society today, because our society is telling us a bunch of different things. Our government is telling a bunch of different things, but we are to do what the scriptures say. Like, you're talking about COVID and talking about the, you know, pandemic and mm-hmm. how the government was kind of like overbearing, controlling everybody's lives.
Yeah, at least that's how it felt.
It did. I mean, in a way, it was their...
It was pretty annoying.
It is pretty annoying. But what I think...
The thing that really, I think, when it comes to that, I think what really seemed a little, I guess I would say maybe disingenuous from is that... It felt, and we actually have a lot of proof to show the government was censoring a lot of things and not giving us the whole truth. And I think that's what really stems all of the issues when it came to the pandemic and stuff, is like we were just weren't being told the truth about a lot of things.
Right.
And so they were purposely withholding information to like assert control.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, thankfully it didn't go any further than it did. But, like, I think that's what, for a lot of maybe more conservative people, that's what really rubbed them the wrong way. And, I mean, rightfully so. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel good when someone lies to you and then tries to get you to do things based on those lies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's just the fallacy of the government during that time was that they thought if withholding the truth was going to control people, like that's, they believe that withholding the truth was going to be able to give them control because they're holding something back from people. They're like, do this and then we'll mm-hmm. give you the truth.
Right.
But we lose our sight on how Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus
no.
says, I am the truth. You know, turn your eyes to me.
And then he gives himself freely.
And then he gives himself freely.
Yeah.
Like,
that's beautiful.
Even though, yes, the government was annoying during that time and still kind of is now, like, we should not be focusing so much on, like, our truth, the truth that they're giving, because they're not giving the truth. They're not giving all of the truth out there, because, and we should reassure ourselves that, like, our truth doesn't come from our government. It doesn't come from, and it's been well illustrated over the past couple of years. And so,
I think, honestly, since the beginning of the word government, it's been evident.
Ever since man wanted to take control and have power, like, power corrupts the heart. And that's seen in what I was going to get at with Israel.
Yeah.
King Saul. Like,
the very first king they had.
And the whole I did a sermon on King Saul and David. When I worked at the church and for the student ministry. And one thing that I took from Israel's plea with God about wanting a king because they wanted to look like other nations, God was like, you're supposed to be the light to other nations, not like
right.
other nations.
Supposed to be set apart.
Yeah, it's a holy nation.
Exactly.
To be set apart is to be holy.
Yeah.
And so
to be a vessel, to show that you aren't the power, it's God working through you. You're just the vessel. I think,
exactly.
I think that's another good picture of how we're supposed to live our lives as Christians, is to not be the king of our lives.
Yeah.
I think, did I just take a point away from you? Were you trying to make another point?
No.
Okay. Well, going off of what you just said, I think that is an amazing picture of what, how we should like govern ourselves as Christians, is like, we should not be in control. Israel shouldn't have had a man in control, because man is flawed, man is sinful.
Right.
And that's what God tells us.
They were looking at different things.
Exactly.
They were not looking at the beauty of God, but they were looking at the beauty of a man, because Saul was very attractive and very strong and very, like, he was the ideal king.
Yeah, like you were saying, they're looking to the power and wisdom of a man as opposed to the power and wisdom of God, which mm-hmm. is perfect and mighty and righteous in every single way.
Yeah.
And it, honestly, that also applies to how I think the government is kind of working right now, is that the government is looking at, specifically, I'm probably going to come back to this a lot because I'm very passionate about this topic, but the government is looking at the transgendered movement and looking at all of these different like self-identity things, and they're looking at that and then basing their judgment on that instead of basing on truth and what mm-hmm. they should be basing it on.
Yeah. And I mean, our government. And
they're adopting a different look, yeah. just the way that Israel adopted the king look from other nations. They're adopting a look from that other. I'm using my hands a lot. You can't see
what he's doing. He's waving. He's waving his hands like he just doesn't care.
Yeah. Up in the air, raising the roof. But the government is looking at these groups and what these groups are doing and then adopting that look on themselves. So that way they can still have credibility in quotations.
That's good. It's a good metaphor there. I mean, kind of.
Well, it was inspired by you, so thank you, Thad.
You're welcome. Yeah, I mean, Israel then was turning away from the beauty of God and the beauty of Scripture and what He's done for them in the past, so time and time again, and that goes the same for now. Like, government in general, like our government or another country's government, like, they're not going off of what Scripture says. They're turning away from God. Like, they have taken everything and they're like turning away from God. I'm not saying that everybody in the government has turned away from God. I believe there are good Christians in the government.
Yeah.
And those people are not necessarily the ones that have a voice.
Yeah. It seems like, well, another thing too that I feel like that is happening in the government that is and a little bit annoying and can be angering sometimes too, is that they're purposefully looking away from truth and purposefully denying fact and denying knowledge. Like, I've seen a lot of public addresses, like, not public addresses, what are they? They're like public hearings.
Yeah.
About specific events that have happened in the past couple of years, and the people in question, like the people that are in the questioning, like seat in the hearings, are yeah. just purposefully not saying the truth.
Right.
Like, they'll ask outright, the panel of like senators, Congress, whatever it is, are like, we'll ask someone a question, and then they will just be like, I can't answer that. They'll literally just not answer the truth mm-hmm. because they don't want to answer the truth, and they're purposely looking away from truth, and I think that's a big problem. And then that can be another reason why people don't want to listen to the government.
Yeah.
And I think another thing to keep in mind too is, yes, God has put these powers over us for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And He expects us to respect their authority, but not above His own. And I think that's when it comes to, you know, bigger things like laws that are about public safety and stuff like that. That's different. Like, when it comes to about, like, you know, like traffic laws,
yeah.
traffic laws, and like, you don't murder people, that kind of stuff is pretty, pretty black and white. But like, when it comes to these more grayer issues, it's not so much about what the government has to say about it. Then you need to weigh, these issues when it comes to Scripture and what it says about it. And so I think that's another thing that can happen too, is if we're not looking at what Scripture says about it too mm-hmm. often. I know, I think I talked about this a little bit in other episodes, but I've caught myself putting my identity and my nationality instead of my allegiance with Christ. putting my my identity in, oh, I'm an American, I have all these things, you know, and putting my identity in my political beliefs instead of putting it in Christ. And so I've been really self-evaluating myself on that. That was redundant. I've been really doing some self-evaluation on that about, like, where am I putting my hope and my trust and my security? Yeah. Am I putting it in my category of beliefs, or am I putting it in Jesus Christ where it should be? Because I think that's another problem when it comes to government and political issues when it, for Christians, is that they're looking, okay, what issue suits what I believe, instead of looking at what does Jesus say about these topics. And maybe he doesn't say anything outright very specifically about certain topics, but if you look into scripture, you will find insights on topics that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. If,
right.
if you, you need to read it from that perspective, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you in ways that you weren't expecting.
Right. I was just thinking about something that came to mind was the first commandment. You shall have no other gods except for me.
Preach it, brother.
And when we, just thinking about that the entire time you were talking about, oh, I'm evaluating your heart. You're evaluating your heart to see, like, am I putting my nationality before Christ? Am I putting my political beliefs before Christ? Are these things becoming idols in my life where it's taking the place of Christ? And that right there, like, I was just thinking about the first commandment. Like, you shall not have no other gods except for Yahweh.
Yeah.
And,
well, and going off of that also, like, having no other gods, Christ also calls us to have our identities in him as well.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to our personal identities, also speaking to the transgenderism issues, our identities aren't in our outward appearance, aren't in our beliefs, aren't in what we think we are. Our identity is in Christ Jesus, and period. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
And if you're not putting your identity there, then you're going to be confused, and then you're going to start having all these issues. But when you find out, and when you realign and you realize that Christ is your identity for a born again believer, Christ is your identity, then everything else kind of just lines up after that. And just like you're saying, the first commandment, no other gods before Yahweh, your identity first is in Christ.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, yeah.
I mean, that's what he was trying to get at, is that you are an image bearer of God.
Yeah.
Therefore, I mean, just like he was saying in Matthew 22 with render what is God, full circle here.
Yeah.
Render what is to God's, what is God's. Like, we are image bearers of God. We're also image bearers of Christ as Christians. And this first commandment is saying you shall have no other gods because you are an image bearer of God.
Yeah.
Like, my face is on you. Like,
that's really good.
Like,
yeah.
why would you have any other things? And sidebar a little bit, like, I know that Maya, you've mentioned a lot about the transgenderism. Like, just want to put it out there. We're not trying to focus on that. That's just the most relevant thing that's going on right now.
Yeah.
That's big and up in our face.
It's like a really passionate topic of mine because, yeah. I have a deep love for all of those people, and a deep sympathy for them, because they're just trying to find their way, and they're just looking in the wrong spots. And I feel for them, and I think I feel like the attitude towards that movement has been very negative, especially in Christian circles.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to change our outlook on that and be more loving and not supportive, but supportive in Christ. Like, pointing them back to Jesus and his true love, and not what love that they think they're searching for.
You know, like, we should be keeping, I think a lot of people, no, I don't know, that's a general statement, but, In the scripture, it says keep each other accountable, and that the thing is that part of the scripture is talking about
Christians
and Christians.
Yeah,
like what it says about being, like accountable, quote unquote, with non-believers. It says show them love and kindness. Be gentle with your words.
Yep.
Like be slow to anger. You know, or like slow to speak. You know. Like, listen well, Like, yeah. It does not say keep them accountable, because what are we keeping them accountable to?
They don't have the
Spirit of God. Like,
they don't have the same.
We can't. Yeah. We can't keep someone accountable if they don't know what they're supposed to be accountable
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
And so, Christians out there, listeners, like, speak love and truth to your unbelieving neighbors. Amen. I mean, that's what I'm going back to 1 Peter. All right.
It's a good book.
It's a good letter that Peter wrote. And just in these verses, like I said, 9 through 17, he talks about how be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world.
Mm.
And so what does that say? I mean, that's saying if we live as a holy nation set apart from the world, like set apart from how the government says we should live,
mm-hmm.
like they will see that and God's word will not return void.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God's word.
God's word will not return void. Yep. You're right.
Right. Like the same influence, like that's how we influence
right.
our unbelieving neighbors is well, like we have to actually live out the light, the wonderful light that we've been brought into
right.
by Christ.
Right.
And literally,
we don't have a lot of more time left. This will probably be one of our last points.
I do want to get to the main chunk I was going to talk about.
Okay, really quick. But just like you're saying, we see examples of this in Scripture before even Christ came. The sermon series that we're going through right now from Genesis,
oh, yeah.
Joseph is known because of his behavior, and that gives glory to God.
Hey,
Joseph from Jacob's son, Israel's son, one of his 12 sons. 12 sons.
12 tribes.
12 tribes, yep. Joseph is known throughout Egypt, wherever he's at, because of his servitude towards God and because of his behavior as a follower of God. We see that with Joseph. We see that with Job. We see that... I'm trying to think of other... We see it a lot in Scripture.
If you just look at the Hall of Faith in Hebrews, you'll see... all of these people that lived out their faith in God and gave glory to God for all the things that happened in their life.
Right.
Like, you can look at just the Hall of Faith in Hebrews exactly. 11.
I allowed Joseph specifically because he's in Egypt, a secular nation. Well, not secular, but a pagan nation
mm-hmm.
Who worshipped all other kinds of gods. But he's known for his servitude for the one true God. And he is exalted because of that and because of his behavior and his work ethic. He's exalted because of it.
It's crazy too, because like, if you read in those verses, Pharaoh himself gives the glory to God
exactly.
for Joseph's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Pharaoh worships
other gods.
Yeah,
but he says, I don't know the truth, like the actual words that he says.
I know the
but
verse
like,
you're saying.
Yeah.
Who else can we find that has the Spirit of God in him?
Oh, yeah.
During the sermon, I highlighted that verse because it's so good. And I wrote in my notes, I said, be the man that people say this about. That's what I wrote in my notes.
Nice.
Because like that's what we want to represent to unbelievers is that we are known not only for our Spirit of God, but for our love for one another and our love for others as well. Anyway, going back to 1 Peter.
This is probably a good just closing remark. And I just want to finish out the verses 13 through 17. In 1 Peter 2, and I think it's just a good closing scripture, good closing segment, for this episode. So, this is what the word of the Lord says about, submitting to human authority. It says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king, he has set them For the king has set them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God that will make your honorable lives. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. respect everyone, and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king.
Did you say you were God's slaves?
Yep. Servants.
Servants, is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. So
I think slave has negative connotations.
It does have negative connotations, but when you think about it, like, we are slaves to Christ because we have given our lives to him.
Yes, but we're also, that is contradictory. We'll have to
It's because of the Greek word. Greek word is doulos, and doulos means servant or slave.
Okay.
It's the same. It means the same thing.
Okay. Cool.
But yes, in our
that shook my theology for a second.
In our society, slave has been put in negative context, negative connotation.
Yeah. It used to not mean the same thing that it does now.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to get off track there. But yeah, I think that's a great closing remark. And what else do you have to say about that before we close out?
I think right there, it just shows that, like, the verse 13, it says, "For the Lord's sake, submit to human authority." Like, and I want to go back to the house image that I said, like, we are temporary residents here, like, in this country. We're temporary residents in this world. Like, if we are in Christ Jesus, like, yeah, we're temporary residents. So, like, we are to obey and submit to human authority as long as it doesn't go against what Scripture says. Mm. Like, if the Scriptures say, don't, like, or if the government says you cannot gather as a church, as it did back in COVID, like, that goes against Scripture. It says, do not stop the assembly of believers, or like, all that. And then,
and it wasn't stopped because we had, but luckily we're in a modern age where we're able to broadcast that stuff and and so we still stayed connected, but I see what you're saying there. Right. And continue that point. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good. No, I was losing my train of thought. Glad you butted in. So, nope, I lost it. Not your fault.
You were saying, do not stop the assembly.
Right. So what I'm saying is, like, submit to a human authority as long as it does not go against what God says is truth. Like, hold fast to Scripture and discern what is right through Scriptures. Through the lens of Scripture.
I think that's the main point that we want to take home today.
Like, we are temporary residents here, but we are first, our foundation is on the Word of God.
We're also called to be good stewards as well.
Exactly. And so be a good steward, be a good citizen to your civic duties. Mm-hmm. Or else, I mean, there are punishments that go along with that. I mean, and that's just human
nature,
you know, human government.
Human government.
Like, I'm not going to get into any more of that. But.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that kind of wraps up this episode. As always, if there's any topics or questions, or if you are in need of a Bible, go ahead and give us an email at thedensemuffinpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to chat with you guys, hear anything that you guys might want us to talk about. Again, take everything we've said today with a grain of salt. We are neither experts nor expert theologians or anything like that, but we are Christ followers with discernment from the Holy Spirit. So,
yeah. And I just want to say also, like, I hope that this conversation has fed your need to be closer to the Word of God and to be closer to Jesus. In whatever season of life you're in right now. So.
Yep. Also,
we have a Patreon.
Yes.
If you'd like to support those who need a Bible, that's where you go and, send money.
That's our Bible fund.
Yeah. If you want to send money and become a patron, we'd love that.
And we would love you so much. We already do, but.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, also we have an Instagram. Check that out. Little posts and updates about episodes and other stuff going on. So
yeah.
I think that concludes it. I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Thaddeus.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Man, that's dense.